Morning. Today's daf in Sanhedrin is Pei Vav. We are on Pei Hei Amud Beis. We're at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. We are up to the next of the Averos. Our Perek, the 10th Perek of Sanhedrin, details those Averos in the Torah that are subject to Chenek. These are capital crimes with capital punishments, and the Mishnah gave a listing. And we've already discussed the first in the list of the Mishnah, which is Maka Alvei V'Imo, one of which is mother and father, so that is Echiv Chenek. The Torah says Maka Alvei V'Imo Mosi Mas. And we learned in the course of the last couple of Dapim, since the Perek began on Pei Dal Amud Beis, that you hit either your mother or your father, doesn't have to be both, and it's a Maka that produces a Chabur, not a Maka that's going to kill. If it's a Maka that kills, that's Ritzicha. And the in the Mishnah in the last couple of Mishnahs details the sister in the Torah. The next in the listing of the Mishnah is Gonav Nefesh Mi'Yisrael. Kidnapping is also a capital crime, but it's not just kidnapping, as we're going to see in the course of our Mishnah. Let's start our Mishnah on Pei Hei Amud Beis. Mishnah begins. Gonav Nefesh Mi'Yisrael Eino Chayv Ad Shiach Nisen El Rishuso. So the Mishnah over here is going to qualify exactly what are the parameters of the Yisr in the Torah in which someone is going to be subject to Ritzicha. I'm sorry, to Mises Beis Din. So it's not just kidnapping, says the Mishnah, but Ad Shiach Nisen El Rishuso, so you have to bring him into your Rishuso. So the Mishnah says that there has to be some sort of kinyan. There has to be some sort of change of ownership from him to you. Now, it's a little bit technical over here, not technical, but it's a little bit trickier over here because we're not talking about an object. In other words, when we talk about objects, so we have very clear parameters in terms of how to make a kinyan and how to change rishuyos. So if we're talking about anything that's movable, metalton, so mashicha. So I just take the object and I bring it closer to me, or I pick up the object depending on the weight of the object. So we have mashicha, we have agbah. When it comes to animals, we have mesira, handing the rein over from one person to another. So there are very clear parameters. Here we're talking about a person. And what makes it even more complicated is that we're not even talking about a person like an Eved Kenani. So an Eved Kenani, so we said time and again, always comes about through a kinyan of karka. Whatever works for karka is going to work for an Eved Kenani. So there you can have keser, shtar, chazaka, money, contract, or proprietary act. Okay, great. We're talking about now the acquisition of not only another human being, but another Jew. And there is no commercialization of another Jew. You don't buy and sell another Jew as a commodity. So how do you bring it to your rishos? Okay. The truth of the matter is that this question which I'm raising, which is really simple and really straightforward, so it's not really discussed in the Gemara. It's not discussed in the Gemara. Take a look at that first Rashi in the Mishnah. Shichnasen l'rishus, the Rashi writes, Shichsiv nimtza biyado. In other words, first of all, we know this because the pasuk when describing kidnapping says that this person is found on your property, on your possession. So nimtza just doesn't mean that it was found by you, meaning, but it was reported that it was by you, meaning you have witnesses. And biyado, this is now Rashi quoting the mechelta, ein biyado ala bershuso. It means in your possession. V'cheinu omer v'kach es kol artzo miyado. Okay, so it means in your possession. So it sounds like Rashi that basically your liability for kidnapping is only going to come about if you actually take the person and put it on your possession. That's what it sounds like from Rashi. If you take a look at the first Tosfos on this sugya, which is the last Tosfos on this Amud, Ashi Echnesen L'Rishusa, Tosfos writes, Mishum Dechsiv Nim Sabi Ado. V'alfagav Deperek Amad Debam Metzi Agabe Geru Gneva Matzirchen Trey Kral L'Rebui Diado Lav Dafka Duhu Adin Gago Chatzir Karfifo Demakam Nami Yeshum Ribui. Okay, now, it's true, says Tosfos, that when it comes to objects like get and Geneva, even though the Torah uses the same expression of Yado, it doesn't mean literally your hand. It means on your possession. Here too, even though we don't have a Drasha Gemur, even though the Gemara doesn't provide a basic Drasha, but still we're going to be assuming that's in your possession. And now you see Tosfos grappling, basically struggling with, well, what if I do Hagbah? Now again, Hagbah, we're talking about another person. But you can. I mean, you know, depending on your weight and his weight, you know, you could lift him up. Or maybe Tosfos says, as long as you're on his property, even picking up it doesn't do anything. So basically what you find is Rashi Tosfos dealing, or at least attempting to deal with a clear parameter of what it means that you actually moved him to your possession. From Rashi, it certainly seems like your possession means like your property. In other words, you move them into your property. From Tosos, maybe even more than that. Tosos to discuss suggests maybe even Hagbah, just simply picking them up in any event. So our Mishnah says that in step number one of Genevas, and we're talking about Genevas Nefesh, stealing another person, kidnapping. So number one, you need a Kinyan. Yeah, you need to bring him into your Rishus. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, back to the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Sheikh Nesel Rishus of Yishtamish Bo. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says it's not enough to just simply bring him into your possession, but to violate the Isser in the Torah of Gonev Nefesh, you have to bring him into your possession and you have to have him work for you. Shenemra Visam Rabo, Umachro, Hagonev, I'm sorry, Umachro. The Torah says Hisam Rabo. The word Hisamer means to have him work for you. So now, the Gemara in a moment is going to ask a simple question. How can this be Shitas Rabbi Yehuda? Meaning, it's if the Torah didn't say anything and then he had an opinion, fine. But the Torah says he has to work for you. So clearly the Torah puts this parameter down that he has to work for you in order for you to have violated the Isser of Gonev Nefesh. Is the Tanakhama arguing on this point? So stay tuned, the Gemara is going to ask that very question. HaGonev is Beno, Rabbi Yishmael Beno Shol, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka, Mechayev HaChacham and Pochum. What if you kidnap your own son? Is that considered Geneva? So that's a Machlokas Tanaim. And the Gemara is going to flesh that out. What exactly is the Machlokas over there? And Ganav Mishachetzio So the Mishnah is kind of starting with an assumption, which the Gemara also is going to spell out, that by stealing an Eved Kenani, that's not the capital crime of Gonev Nefesh. Gonev Nefesh means I have to steal another Jew. Stealing someone's Eved Kenani, stealing someone's property, which is a crime, but not a capital crime, and the Gemara is going to make that point clear. So the Mishnah over here details, what if I steal somebody who is half an Eved Kenani and half a Jew? This is a case that comes up frequently in the Gemara. I don't know how frequently it comes up in terms of practical, meaning even now we don't have avadim. But even back then, to get to a case where a person's a chatzi of a chatzi ben chorin, that means then what must have happened was is that there was a partnership over an Eved Kenani. One of the partners released him, relinquishing his 50% share holding of the Eved Kenani. The other partner still maintains his ownership. So now this person is in a weird limbo state of being half a free person and half an Eved Kenani, and he's discussed very frequently in the Mishnah, and as I just pointed out, to get to that point, it requires a little bit of complexity. In any event, the Mishnah says, what if I steal such an individual? Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev HaChacham and Pochim, so again, Machlokas Tanayim, whether or not this is considered Gonev Nefesh MiYisrael, and again, when we get to the Gemara is going to spell out this Machlokas as well. Okay, we start with the Gemara, and the Gemara deals with the most basic question, which I raised in the beginning of the Mishnah, where seemingly we're having a debate whether or not, in order for you to violate this Isser of Gonev Nefesh, you have to work him or not work him. And as I pointed out, as the Gemara now is about to point out, how can we have a debate? The Torah says, V'his Amer Bo, that you worked him. V'tana Kama Lo Bai Imor? And so the Gemara asks very succinctly, according to the Tanakhama, of course you need to work him. So Amar Rabbi Acha Berei Derava Imor Pachus Mishava Pruta Yimena. So the Gemara says, yeah, you do need to work him. How much do you need to work him? That is the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda. The Tanakhama says, even a kol shehu, even any amount. And what Rav Yehuda says, no, you need to work him. So what Rav Yehuda is adding to this is, no, not just any amount. It has to be a significant amount. When we talk about monetary value, what's significant? A shava pruta. So Rav Yehuda says that you have to work him a shava pruta. Okay, by Rav Yirmiya. Rav Yirmiya now asks his questions. Ganvo umachro yashen mahu. What if, let's say, you steal him and you sell him while he was sleeping? So in other words, he was not in a state of consciousness. He was not aware of what's going on. So would you be chayv? Machar isha le'ubra mahu. Or let's say you kidnapped a pregnant woman and you sold the fetus of the pregnant woman. So yesh derech imar b'kach, lein derech imar b'kach. So, as we already learned in the Mishnah, and the Gemara reinforced, everyone says that in order for you to violate this issue of going to Nefesh, there are basically three aspects of this of the act. One, you have to actually take a person. Two, you have to work them. And three, you have to sell them. So over here, we're talking about a sleeping individual or the fetus. So the Gemara now asks a simple question. I understand how you can kidnap such an entity. I understand how you could sell such an entity. Although when it comes to the selling of the fetus, it is the davar shelo bala olam. Okay, but no, I'll ignore that for now. Okay, so I understand how you can do one and three. You could certainly steal it, and you could certainly sell it. But there's a middle step, which is that you have to work. It has to work for you. So how can somebody sleeping work for you? And how could the fetus work for you? Asks the Gemara that very question. So, So the Gemara says, I don't understand. And both of these questions are Rav Yirmiyah. So there is no Emor. He can't, the fetus can't work for you and the sleeping person can't work for you. So the Gemara says, and teku. So the Gemara gives two circumstances in which I can have somebody sleeping work for me and I can have the fetus working for me as well. And basically, passive work, passive labor. When it comes to this person who's sleeping, so how can he work for me? So very simple, says the Gemara. So maybe the person who's sleeping, so what I do is I recline on the person sleeping, right? The person is, let's say, a little bit soft. So a person serves as a comfortable pillow. So I put my head down on the sleeping person. So he is serving me, admittedly, passively. Fetus, same idea, similar idea. Let's say the wind is very strong. And right now you go over to a pregnant woman and you say, look, right, I need a little protection from the elements. So what I really would like you to do is I'd like you to stand there. And specifically, if you could just turn, you know, perpendicular. And now you and the fetus and the baby are going to be serving as a windbreaker for me. Okay, so again, so the fetus now is passively working for the person who stole it. So basically, I know the case is obviously that the Gemara constructed over here is odd or unusual, to say the least. But basically what the Gemara is asking is passive labor considered labor vis-a-vis this particular Isser? And the Gemara says, that's the question. So take it, and the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Tanu Rabban. Ki matze ish gonev nefesh me'achav ein le'ala ish shaganev. Isha minayin. Tamalomer v'gonev ish. So the Gemara says, how do I know that this Isser is both for man and for woman? So the Torah says v'gonev, meaning it's on the focus, the emphasis of the Torah is on the act of geneva. So who does the act? It doesn't really matter. It could be a man, it could be a woman. Both are going to be subject to the punishment of chenek in the event that they violate this crime. So, ein li ela ish sheganav bein ish, v'isha sheganav ish, isha sheganva isha minayin. So far, what do I know? I know if a man steals, I know if a woman steals. But what if a woman steals another woman? Meaning, where is that encrypted in the Torah? Tamalomer umes haganavahu. Now, if you look back at the previous pasuk, it says v'gonev ish. So the act of geneva, the Torah says, as long as you're doing the act, you're going to be chad. But then the next one, the Torah is ish. Sounds like, this is what the Gemara's Havamina was, it sounds like that I'm only going to be liable if I steal a man. How do I know that if a woman who's doing the act of geneva is stealing another woman, she be subject to the penalty of chenek? So the Gemara says, umes haganavahu. This ganav is going to die. Meaning, again, the emphasis is on the act of geneva. Rashi points out that it's a superfluous pasuk, and therefore it's coming to include not only a woman kidnapping a man, but even a woman kidnapping another woman. Mikom akom. Tan yidach, the Gemara quotes another brisa. Ki matzi ish gonev nefesh me'echav, echad gonev v'seish, v'echad gonev v'seisha. So here the brisa starts off with, it doesn't matter whether the victim is a man, a victim is a woman. V'echad ger, v'echad evan meshuchrar. It doesn't matter if it's a convert, it doesn't matter if it's an emancipated slave. A freed slave is a Jew. V'katan, or it doesn't matter if it's a minor. Chayiv, in all these cases, one would be liable. Ganva v'lo machro. Let's say you do the act of geneva, you kidnap, but you don't sell. Machro v'adan yeshna b'rushoso. Or let's say you sell, but the person's still on your property. Pater. Under these circumstances, you're going to be exempt, meaning the sale of an individual has to mean that you, A, stole him to bring it into your property, and then sale, meaning that he, the buyer, took him from you. So if the buyer didn't take him from you, so then at this point in time, you're still pater. You're still going to be exempt from the death penalty. Let's say the seller is a family member. Still a sale, and therefore you're going to be chayiv. Hagonev esa avadim pater. And then the Mishnah ends off by saying that if you steal an Evan Kanani, so you're going to be exempt. I told you when we learned the Mishnah, this was the assumption of the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah was talking about a chatzi Evan chatzi ben chorin. The Mishnah was talking about that middle case. It's clear from the Mishnah that if you steal an Eved, you're going to be Pater. Tanit Tana Kame de Rav Sheshes. This Brisa that we just went over together. So this Brisa was said over in front of Rav Sheshes. And included in this Brisa was the sale of a person to his own father. So Amar Le Anishoni Rabbi Shimon Omer Me'achav Achi Yotzini Mershus Achav the At Amart Chayev. So Rabbi Shimon says So when Rav Sheshet hears the Brisa, he says, "Well, I have to relate it to another Brisa, because Rav Sheshet says that I learned in another Brisa that according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, may echav, you're taking him from a brother, that you have to take him away from his brothers, meaning that a sale has to be to a third party. A sale does not register if you're selling him to another family member. So you're saying that selling him to a family member is going to be chayev, and meanwhile, I have a Mesorah, I have a Brisa that says when you sell him to another family member, that's not considered a sale vis-a-vis capital punishment. And so therefore, what I'm going to do is I'm going to edit your Brisa. So Tani Pater. So on the case where you sell the person to a family member, I would not say chayev when learning the Brisa or when teaching the Brisa again, but rather I'd say Pater. So my Kushin, Yom HaRebi Shem and HaRabbanan. So the Gemara says, well, why did Rav Sheshet have to edit an entire Brisa? Meaning, in Rav Sheshet's own tradition that he received, where if you sell to a family member, you're going to be potter, he clearly has that as the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Why not say that the Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Shimon? It's fair, right? So the Gemara says, lo sakadacha. The Gemara says, no, it's not fair. Meaning, we're not going to say that. The Amar of Yochanan, because Rav Yochanan taught us all the stamps. Meaning, anonymous positions that are taught in a Mishnah, Sifrei, we're going to spell it all out. So Rav Yochanan has a Mesorah that they are attributable to certain Tanaim. Stam Asnisim Rav Meir. We say this time and again. When you have a Mishnah and it's anonymous, generally speaking, it's Rav Meir. Shitas Rav Meir. Stam Tosefta Rabbi Nechemia. If I have a Tosefta, a series of Brises that were that are normally attributed to authorship to, or I should say, editor to Rabbi Oshia. So who is the position that it's generally espousing? The opinion of Rabbi Nechemia. Stam Sifra, Rabbi Yehuda. When I have a Stam Sifra, Sifra is the Medrash Halacha on Vayikra. As a general note, we should all know, I've mentioned this a number of times before, but when we talk about Midrashim, so often is the time we think about the Midrashim that tell us some of the behind-the-scenes stories of the Torah, right? Fill in the Torah with more details. But those are Medrashei Agadita. Those are the Midrashim that came about, meaning put on paper during the period of the Amoraim, even after the period of the Amoraim. In terms of Medrash Halacha was recorded by Rabbi Kiva, by Rabbi Yishmael. So in other words, Tanayim, who lived about the same time as Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, a generation or two earlier than Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. So when we're talking about the Medrash Halacha, basically there are three main works. One is the Medrash Halacha on Sefer Shmos, two is the Medrash Halacha on Sefer Vayikra, and three is the Medrash Halacha on Bamidbar Dvarim. Why is there no Medrash Halacha on Breishis? For a very simple reason. There are no Halacha in Breishis. Yes, there's a couple of mitzvos, but not enough to warrant an entire Sefer Medrash on Breishis. So whenever you see the word Sifra, that's singular, it means the book. What's Sifra? Sifra is the Medrash Halacha on Vayikra. When you see the word Sifrei, so that's two books. That's the Medrash Halacha on Bamidbar and Dvarim. The Medrash Halacha on Shmos is called Mechilta. Okay? So, Stam Sifra, Rabbi Yehuda. Whenever you see the Medrash Halacha on Vayikra, that's Rabbi Yehuda. And Stam Sifrei, Rabbi Shimon. And whenever you see this, whenever there's an anonymous position in the Medrash Halacha on by Midbar Dvarim, so that's going like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Look at the names that we just cited: Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Who are they? They are the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, and that's the next line of Rabbi Yochanan. V'kulo aliba de Rabbi Akiva. Basically, we're looking at the Mesorah of the Torah Shebaal Peh going through Rabbi Akiva to his Talmidim, and basically they broke off into various forms of Torah Shebaal Peh. The Mishnah, the Tosefta, the Sifra, the Sifrei, these are the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva. Anyway, the reason why when Rav Sheshet heard the Brisa, Rav Sheshet says, oh wait, but I know Rav Shimon says otherwise, why didn't he just simply say the Brisa argues with Rabbi Shimon? Because that Brisa just quoted was from the Sifrei, and Rav Yochanan taught us that we have a tradition that Sifrei belongs to Rabbi Shimon, so he knows that the author of the Brisa was Rabbi Shimon. That's why he had to synthesize that Brisa together with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And in this case, by synthesize, I mean actually edit that Brisa, because he knows it goes like Rabbi Shimon. Hagonev is Beno. Now we're talking about kidnapping one's own son. Now again, remember, I made this point already a number of times. I'm going to make it again. We're not delineating the differences between right and wrong. meaning on a technicality, you're not going to be subject to the death penalty. It's still wrong. It's still usur. It's still a crime. We're just talking about what exactly it takes to register in a mises beis din, a capital punishment. So that's the delineation over here. It's not the difference between right versus wrong.
If you get
a ransom from the family, so that's selling it back to the family, which the again as a technicality you're not going to be subject to death penalty, but again then that's not difference between right and wrong. It's just a difference between death penalty versus not death penalty. My time at the Rabbanan Amar Abai Damakra. So we are now discussing the kidnapping of one's own son. Is that considered gonev nefesh? So it's a machlokus in the Mishnah, and the Gemara now spells that. My time, the Rabbanan Amar Abai Amar Kra ki yimatze prat lematsui. Yimatze means you have to go out and find it. Meaning, in order to be chayev of gonev nefesh min haTorah, it has to be somebody who is not accessible to you, that you made accessible to you. If we're talking about one's own child, it's already somebody who's accessible to you. Therefore, for stealing your own child, for kidnapping your own child, you're not going to be subject to the capital crime, the capital punishment. The Gemara says, really? So every time you see the word kiyamatse, it means that somebody that was not accessible to you and you made accessible to you. So are you going to make the same argument by adultery? When the Torah describes adultery, it says kiyamatse. And now you want to tell me this qualification, that it's only adultery if it's somebody who is not accessible to you. But if it was accessible to somebody accessible to you, it's not adultery. That's obviously an absurd conclusion. And the Gemara says, so how can you make that argument when it comes to kidnapping? And you're not ready to make such an argument when it comes to adultery. Ukigon. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you, shel beis ploni, dishkichen gabayu. Let's say the Gemara says, you know that development, that housing development. Now, the Gemara, it's very interesting. The Gemara says, base plony. You know, so-and-so. The Gemara doesn't want to spell it out. Rashi over here writes, the Gemara does not want to spell it out because it's basically a bunch of couples living in a housing development, and it was just, they were living too close to one another. Right? I joke, bungalow colony, first of all, we're talking about adultery, so it's not even worth it. But in other words, they were just simply people, married couples who were living in such a proximate area to one another. So the Gemara basically now is just making that absurd argument. You mean to tell me that just because somebody else's wife is so accessible to me, it's therefore not adultery? So the Gemara says, Hachanami de Petire. So you want to tell me now that you're going to be exempt from adultery in such a circumstance? It's an absurd argument. Of course it's not true. Of course it's adultery. So the Gemara says, so we have the same terminology by kidnapping, Kiyamatse. Now you want to tell me that, oh, it's only somebody who was not accessible to you, but if it's accessible, so then it's not kidnapping? Gemara says, look, you didn't accept that argument by adultery, so why should you accept it over here? Amrle ana mi venimtsa biyadu kamina. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Kiyamatse is not the source of this halacha, but rather venimtsa biyadu, it's found in your hand. Venimtsa biyadu, says Rashi, is an extra pasuk, it's superfluous. In other words, that in order for one to be liable for kidnapping, it has to be somebody who you went to extent in order to get, meaning not your son, who is someone who is accessible to you.
You need a kinyan, right?
We discussed that back in the Mishnah, meaning, right, you do need to move him into your possession. Okay, so, Amar Rava Hilka Chani Mikri Dardike Omasni Rabbanan Kimitsuim Biyadan Dame Upatire. So, Rava says, let's say you're a Rebbe, and you kidnap a student. So again, we're not making this, we're not legitimizing. We're just simply saying, if you understand the halacha we just learned together, so under these circumstances, it's also patur, it's also going to be an exemption. Exemption from the death penalty. Where when the Rebbe takes the student, since the Rebbe and the student are always together, and always learning together, so therefore the act of going in nefesh under such circumstances is not going to be subject to the death penalty. Next machlokus in the Mishnah. So, next machlokus in the Mishnah is if you steal somebody who is a chatzi eved chatzi ben chor. If I kidnap a neved kenani, so that is stealing property. That's wrong, but that's not kidnapping, and that's not a capital crime. If I steal a Jew, that's kidnapping. What if I steal someone who's in the middle? Chatziyev v'chatzi ben charen. Like I already discussed back in the Mishnah, you had two partners over the Seva Kanani, one released him, so now 50% of him is free, 50% of him is still a slave. What becomes of such an individual if you were to kidnap such an individual? Tanan Hasam Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ein Levadim Boshes. We turn to a Mishnah in the 8th parak of Baba Kama. Rabbi Yehuda's position over there is that Avadim are not subject to the Boshes payment. If I embarrass somebody, that is considered a financial tort. It is I that's considered nezek damages, and I have to pay for the embarrassment. How is that assessed? The Gemara in Baba Kama, the Mishnah Baba Kama, and the Gemara over there tries to give some sort of formula in terms of how to assess. For our purposes right now, it's an important detail, but not for us right now. Anyway, it's a damage. Rav Yehuda over there in the Mishnah Baba Kama says that an Eved Kanani is not subject to Boshes. Again, not discussing right versus wrong, just simply saying that if I embarrass an Eved Kanani, I don't have to pay the Boshes penalty. Why not? My taima. The Rav Yehuda Amar Kra ki natsu anashim yachlev ish ve'achiv mi sheish lo achva yetzev Eved shein lo achva. Where does the Torah introduce us to this idea of Boshes? In the Parsha of Kisetze, where you have the two men fighting, along comes a woman and grabs one of the men in the private area, where there, the Torah says, under those circumstances, she has to pay for the boshes for the embarrassment that she incurred. That is, and the Torah over there introduces that Parsha with the words, ki yinatsu anashim yachdav, when brothers are fighting. So who is excluded when it says anashim? So it's excluding an Eved. Why? Ein lo achva. Because he's not part of this achva. We know that, of course, an Eved Kanani cannot marry a Jew. So in other words, he's excluded from this discussion. V'rabbanan echev hu b'mitzvos. Now the Chachamim say, what do you mean he's not a brother? Of course he's a brother. Yes, of course the Chachamim agree, you're not allowed to marry, your daughter's not allowed to marry an Eved Kanani, but, in other words, he's chayev in mitzvos, so he's considered a brother. Fine. That's the machlokus in terms of whether or not an Eved Kanani is subject to Boshes, yes or no. Machlokus of Baba Kama. Hacha hecha darash Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, fine. That's over there in Baba Kama. Now let's turn to our attention over here. Over here we're talking now about kidnapping. We're talking about kidnapping of Achatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. How do the opinions now work themselves out? Rav Yehuda savra me'achav lafuki avadim. So Rav Yehuda says, let's start with the pasuk me'achav. So me'achav describing kidnapping. So that already excludes avadim. So b'nei Yisrael lema'ute mishachetu avad v'chetu ben chorin. Then there's a further exclusionary term of b'nei Yisrael, which means now we have already excluded an Eved Kanani. So who's next to be excluded? Someone who's halfway in between an Eved Kanani and a Jew. That's erachati avad v'chetu ben chorin. Mi b'nei Yisrael lema'ute mishachetu avad v'chetu ben chorin. And now you have another miut because it says mi b'nei Yisrael. So what do I have now? I have a double miut. And like math, when multiplying negatives, in drushas, when having a double miut, having miut achamir, and miut achamir el al rabos. So now the double miut already comes to tell me now that we're including a chati ever chati ben chorin. V'rabanan, now the chachamim have a different starting point. We know that because of that gemar and baba kama that we just went over. V'rabanan me echav lafuke avadim, lo mashmaluhu, da achevu b'mitzvos. As we pointed out together from the gemar and baba kama, the starting point of the Eved Kanani is that he is an ach because you're chayv mitzvos and the Eved Kanani is chayv mitzvos. So b'nei Yisrael mi b'nei Yisrael chalamut Eved v'chalamut mi chashechetu Eved v'chetu ben chorin. So we have the term b'nei Yisrael. We have the extra miut of mi b'nei Yisrael. So the one is to exclude an Eved altogether. The second is to exclude chati Eved v'chetu ben chorin. Okay. Next. Azar l'gonev nefesh minayin. Where's the warning? We've said this time and again throughout Sanhedrin. This is one of the mantras of Sanhedrin, that the punishment can only come about if you find another pasuk in the Torah that gives the warning, that issues the, first of all, don't do this, and then the, if you do this, here's the consequence. I need two separate pasukim in the Torah. Where's the first pasuk in the Torah where if you, of the don't do this. We know very clearly the, if you don't do this, you're going to be subject to capital punishment. That pasuk is very clear. Where do we find that? And parenthetically, that pasuk is in Devarim, in Parshat Kisetze. I'll just read the pasuk in totality. Ki matzi ish gonev nefesh me'echav min me'yisrael v'samer bo, u'machro, u'meis ha'ganav ha'hu, u'viyarta arami kebecha. So there the pasuk in Kiseitse says, here's what happens if you do that. Where's the pasuk that says, don't do that? That's the Gemara's question. Rabbi Yoshi amar mi lo signov, Rabbi Yochan amar mi lo yimkaru mimkares evan.
It says lo tignov twice.
Now, well, yes, you're right. It says lo tignov twice. The second luchos are not counted as another pasuk. Second luchos are understood as a repetition of the first luchos. So, one comes from the pasuk of lo tignov, that's Rav Yoshia, and Rav Yochanan says it comes from the pasuk of lo yimkaru mimkaras evan. Don't sell your brother like a slave. V'lo pligi. Now the Gemara says, now truth of the matter is, there's no debate over here. Marka chashav la de geneva, marka chashav la de mechira. In other words, as we already discussed since the beginning of the entire sugya, there are two aspects to a theft. One aspect of the theft is the actual stealing, and the second aspect of the theft is the selling of it. And by the way, there's also that middle part, which is that you have to have them work for you. Okay. But one lav is on the stealing, and the second lav is on the sale. So really, these two psukim are reflecting that. Now, perhaps you're wondering, how do I know the lo signov of the Aseres HaDibros is talking about kidnapping? Meaning the Torah says it succinctly with only two words. Lo tignov. Right? So anyway, so it's lo tignov. It's don't steal. How do I know that's talking about kidnapping? Next Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Lo signov begon of nefashot takas medaber. The Torah by the Aseres HaDibros is talking about kidnapping. Right? I would guess this is a common misconception. Where when you ask somebody to translate number 7 of the Aseres HaDibros, Lo Signov, and most would say don't steal. Our Gemara in Sanhedrin, today's Daf, Pevav, tells us, no, that's not right. Lo Signov actually means don't kidnap. And how do I know that? How do I know that? Maybe it's talking about stealing money. So So one of the 13 midos shatar nidreshes bahem is davar halamid me'inyano. In one word that's translated as context. When you want to know what something means, look at the context. Look at what surrounds it. What's around lo signov in the Aseres HaDibros? Lo sirtzach, don't kill. Lo sinov, don't commit adultery. These are capital crimes. What's next? Lo signov. If it just means stealing is not a capital crime. Stealing is stealing. I got to return what I stole. But in other words, the Dibros that came before it are big ticket items. So context tells you that the lo signov of the Aseres HaDibros is not just stealing, it's kidnapping, which is a capital crime. By Ma'akaz of Medaber, Benefashos, Afkan, Benefashos. Tan Yirich, the Gemara quotes another brisa. Lo signovu. Now we're turning to Parshas Kedoshim. And Parshas Kedoshim, right? Sefer Vayikra, Perek Yotes. The Torah there says, don't steal. What is that stealing referring to? So, Gonev Mamon, Akaz of Medaber. That's the Isser in the Torah of not stealing money. Atom, Begonev Mamon, Oenoela, Begonev Benefashos. And again, how do I know? The Torah only says the word lo signovu. Again, the Gemara's answer is the same answer. Look at the context. Read the psukim over there in Perek Yutes and Vayikra. So, b'mekas medaber b'mamon afkam b'mamon. Surrounding that area of lo signovu, or all your isuri mamon, including, by the way, v'aftal recha kamocha, meaning it's the benadim l'chaveros, like don't take from somebody else. Itmar eide geneva ve'eide mechira benefesh shehuzmu. So now we know that there are two parts to kidnapping, meaning two parts to kidnapping that brings about a death penalty. One is the stealing and the other is the selling. Let's say I have witnesses who saw that he stole another Jew. I have witnesses who saw that he sold the other Jew. And both sets of witnesses now turn out to be Edom Zomimim. So what now is going to be the consequence of these two sets of witnesses? Now, certainly the latter sets of witnesses are the ones who set up the person for the death penalty. So what was their conspiracy? What did they want to accomplish? Certainly they wanted to kill this person. So what should happen to them? Second set of witnesses are going to be subject to the death penalty. What about the first set of witnesses? See, they only set up the crime. But in other words, their testimony by itself isn't going to bring about a death penalty. So what happens to the first set of witnesses? Chizki amar einaragin, Rabbi Yochanan amar naragin. So the way that the machlokus is first presented to us is a simple machlokus of whether or not they themselves are going to be put to death, yes or no. So the Gemara now sets it up like this. Well, according to Chizkiah, he subscribes to the rule of Rabbi Akiva, which is that in order for testimony to be testimony, you have to be testifying on the entire case, not on part of a case. If you're only testifying about part of a case that's not testimony, and therefore not submitted, or inadmissible, and therefore not subject to Hazama. And Rav Yochanan Amar Karabban Adamar Davar Vafilu Chatzi Davar. And Rav Yochanan subscribes to the rule of the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Akiva. And they say that testimony can be testimony even if you're only testifying about part of the crime, not the entire crime. Umode Chizkiah Be'edim Achronim Shol Ben Sora Moreh Shehuz Moshen Arag Mitoch Sheichom Lomar Harishonim Lahal Koso Banu. So now let's talk about Ben Sora Moreh. As we already discussed back in the 8th paragraph of Sanhedrin, by Ben Sora Moreh, you also have this idea of there are two aspects to the crime of Ben Sora Moreh. One is where the witnesses say that he stole money from his parents and he used it to buy meat and drink and wine. Now in the first round of Eidos, what's going to happen is that he's going to get Malkus. That's his warning, so to say. In the second round, where if he does this again, and there are witnesses that said that he did it again, so then he's going to be a Ben Sora Moreh, and he's going to be put to death through Skila. Now, here you also have the scenario in which you have two sets of witnesses. What the Gemara now is arguing is that even though we just saw Machlokas by kidnapping, where I have two sets of witnesses, one on the kidnapping and the other on the sale, so is that considered Chatzi Davar? And is this testimony going to be admissible? And are the witnesses going to be subject to Azam? Fine. And that was Machlokas between Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan. What the Gemara now is arguing is that when it comes to Ben Sora Moreh, there's not going to be a debate. Everyone will agree that the first set of witnesses, the second set of witnesses can be divisible. And the first set of witnesses are just setting him up for the Malkus. And the second set of witnesses are only coming for one purpose, and that's to assign him the status of a Ben Sora Moreh.
Because there's a punishment in the interim. It doesn't help that.
Exactly. Exactly. Therefore, the second set of witnesses are considered a singular unit, an independent unit of testimony, and therefore, since their testimony can result in him becoming a Ben Sora Moreh, so the testimony can rebound on them if they turn out, if they prove to be Edom Zomimim, and they themselves are going to be subject to the death penalty. So, maskev l'ra papi achi edem echira namei liktalei mitok sheicholim edigenei v'lomar la'akos l'banu. So the Gemara says, just like by the Ben Sora Moreh, we were able to segregate the first set of witnesses and the second set of witnesses, can't we do the same thing over here? When we have kidnapping, so can't the first set of witnesses say, look, we did not come here to put anyone to death. Meaning, we saw that this person kidnapped. And what we want him to do is, we want him to give him back. And at this stage, it's not yet a capital punishment. It's not yet a capital crime. And so the first set of witnesses, so can't they make the same argument that we made with the first set of witnesses by the Ben Sora Moreh? We are just here in order so that the person get returned, and at worst, the kidnapper would be subject to Malkus, but not the death penalty. So, mitoch shecholim eidin ganev alamra ba'al kosabano v'chitim v'dekasav v'chizkiah dololaki. And maybe Chizkiah will tell you, well, maybe there's no such punishment. Meaning, just for kidnapping by itself, maybe Chizkiah is of the opinion that there's no Malkus under those circumstances. And if that's right, capital I, and if that's right, so then we can't make this argument that the first set of witnesses are just a coming for an independent purpose. But the Gemara says, but we know otherwise. Meaning, we're going to establish that according to Chizkiah, the first set of witnesses can set this person up for Malkus. How do I know that? We have the case where someone is just accused of kidnapping. Not step two, not the sale, just the kidnapping. So we have a debate between Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan. And here the debate is whether or not this by itself is subject to Malkus. Now we know that Chizkiah says, as we're going to connect Chizkiah to the opinion of Lokin. How do I know that? Medamer Chizkiah ain't neragin. Because Chizkiah says he's not put to death. Look, Rav Yochanan is not going to get Malkus for just the act of kidnapping. Why? Because this sets us up for the death penalty. And we know that any law in the Torah that could result in the death penalty, never going to be subject to Malkus. Right? Murder, for example. Murder has a death penalty involved. Chil Shabbos, for example. Chil Shabbos has a death penalty. You're not going to get Malkus for violating these kinds of lavim in the Torah because the punishment is Mises based in, therefore not subject to Malkus. So, according to Rav Yochanan, the witnesses on the act of kidnapping are not going to be subject to Malkus because this is going to lead to the death penalty. So, Iulalaki inu hechalaku. So the Gemara now makes the argument. Well, if he, meaning the criminal, the kidnapper, is not going to be subject to Malkus, so certainly the witnesses, in the event that they're proven to be Edom Zomimim, are also not going to get Malkus. So, what have we just proven? That according to Rav Yochanan, you're not going to get Malkus, which means that Chizkiah is taking the other side. Which means that Chizkiah, for the act of kidnapping by itself, that is an independent crime, subject to Malkus. So what we've just proven now, that according to Chizkiah, just the act of kidnapping by itself is a crime in itself, subject to Malkus. And so here we are now asking a simple question. Well, it's not so simple, but once you put all this information together, now basically we can subdivide the act of kidnapping and the sale of the person you kidnapped. On the act of kidnapping, that's a lav. According to Chizkiah, a lav which is subject to Malkus. Therefore, the witness is testifying about that. That's its own separate crime. Now, on part two, on the sale, that too is its own separate crime, subject to the death penalty. So now, how can we have this debate of whether or not, according to Chizkiah, right, it's by just testifying about the first part, that's considered Chatzi Davar. It's not considered Chatzi Davar. That's considered an independent crime. Elamar Papa Be'edim Echir Dekule Amalo Pligi Deneragin Ki Pligi Be'edim Geneva. So what we're now going to do is we're going to go back to the beginning of this particular sugya, and we're just going to modify what we said originally. We said originally that it's if you're testifying about just one of these events, it's a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Chizkiah whether or not you are going to be considered Edom Zomimim. Gemara says, let's reset. If you testify about the mechira, about the sale of somebody who was kidnapped, under those circumstances, everyone agrees that if the witnesses are proven to be Edom Zomimim, they're subject to the death penalty. Since they wanted to create a death penalty for the kidnapper, and they themselves proven to be falsely testifying, and specifically Edom Zomimim, they're going to get the death penalty. And Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan agree. Ki pligi be'ed geneva. Where the debate lies is on the geneva, on the actual kidnapping itself. So according to Chizkiah views kidnapping and the sale as two separate crimes. The kidnapping is an independent crime subject to lashes. The sale is an independent crime subject to the death penalty, and that's why Chizkiah does not put the two together. Whereas according to Rav Yochanan, Amar Neheragin. And Rav Yochanan says that if your witness is testifying about the kidnapping, just the kidnapping by itself, and then a second set of witnesses are testifying about the sale, so now you're part of that, and according to Rav Yochanan, it's all one continuous crime. You're just at the beginning of that continuum, and therefore you're going to be subject to the death penalty. So Rav Yochanan Mar Naragin Geneva Aschalta de Mechira he. Geneva is considered the beginning of the Mechira. The way Rav Yochanan views the crime of kidnapping and sale is that it's part A and part B of one singular crime. Therefore, if you're just testifying about part A, you're testifying about the beginning of such a crime. And if this now leads to a capital punishment, a capital crime of sale, if you have a second set of witnesses who are not testifying about the sale, the first set of witnesses now are going to be part of that, and then if proven to be Edom Zomimim, they themselves are going to be put to death.
So what does Rabbi Yochanan say about the Ben Sora Morris?
Because it certainly seems from the Gemara, everyone's in agreement that that is viewed as not two parts of one crime, but the first part is Malkus in of itself. Umodar of Yochanan Meidim, Rishon Shal Ben Sora Marsh. The Gemara makes exactly the point. Umodar of Yochanan Meidim, Rishon Shal Ben Sora Marsh, who is Mashiach Naragim Mitoch Shechon Lomar, La Kos Labanu. Right. When it comes to the Edom Zomimim, when it comes to Ben Sora and Mora, even Rav Yochanan is going to agree that the first time witnesses are testifying about the gluttony of this child, this young man, the since there's a Malkus punishment, that's viewed as an independent crime. Amar Abai. Okay, here's where we're going to debate and here's where we're going to agree. Two agreements, one debate. Here's agreement number one. How come on Ben Sora Mar Beinam Rishon Shein Neragim Tuch Shichon Lama Lalkos Abanu? What we just got done saying. That the first round of that kid's a glutton, that was going to bring about Malkus. Therefore, everyone agrees that that is a Malkus testimony. And if they're proven to be Edom Zomimim, they're going to get Malkus. How come on Ben Sora Mar Beinam Rishon Shein Neragim Tuch Shein Rishon Shichon Lama Lalkos Abanu? And then, in round two of he was a glutton, so those witnesses, if they were conspiring and if they were falsely accusing him, they're going to be subject to the death penalty because clearly their intent was to have him put, be put to death. V'hani kuli davar ka'avdile. U'machlokz b'mensor ramar shnaim omrim b'fanenu ganav v'shnaim omrim b'fanenu achal. However, here's where we're going to have disagreement, where two say that he stole and two say that he ate. So in other words, the gluttony is now broken up into two testimonies, where one set of witnesses say that he stole the money, and the other set of witnesses said, yeah, and we saw him take that money and buy food with that money. Under those circumstances now, is that considered, is each one of these testimonies considered a chatzi davar? That's the machlokas. Amar Ravasi Edim Mechir B'Nefesh Shehuzmu. The witnesses who are testifying about the sale, who end up proven to be conspiring and were falsely testifying, See, if all they are just simply testifying about is a sale, so what does a sale mean? Sale could be a sale of his own slave, meaning they don't know that this is somebody who was kidnapped, or they don't necessarily know that. So I'm Rav Yosef, Kamanaz Laha Shemaita de Ravasik Rabbi Kiva Dama Davar Lo Chatzi Davar. Now the Gemara says, now is he going like Rabbi Akiva, who says that half a testimony is not considered submissible testimony? The Gemara says it can't be, because clearly there was an explanation given over here. It says the word mitoch, meaning it has nothing to do with davar versus chatzi davar. The issue at hand over here is this considered, are they even testifying about a crime? Meaning their defense could simply be, oh, we didn't know that he was stealing somebody who was kidnapped. We don't know that they were selling somebody that was kidnapped. We're just reporting a sale. We don't know what was being sold, or I should say better, who was being sold. And we're talking about a case where nobody ever testified about the actual kidnapping itself. So the Gemara says, "Yachim ala memra." Wait a second. So let's now think this through. So no one ever testified about a kidnapping. But now you have a second pair of witnesses. Again, second pair, I'm just meaning you have another set of witnesses who are now saying, oh, you know what? We saw him sell that Evakanani. Again, we saw him sell that individual. If there was no report about the kidnapping, so what else would you have thought? Meaning, would you have even entertained the idea now that these witnesses should be subject to a capital punishment in the event they're proven to be conspiring? So lo tzricha da'afagav da'asal b'sof. So the Gemara says, so here now is the story. First, the second set of witnesses come in and say, we'd like to report a sale. He sold him. Who he is? We don't know. In other words, we just saw the sale. And then afterwards comes in another set of witnesses, and they're reporting a kidnapping of that sold individual. So now the order of the witnesses came in the reverse. So the Gemara says, okay, but still, when all said and done, where's the Chiddush? When the first set of witnesses come and reported the sale, again, their defense is very simple. We didn't know there was a kidnapping. Lo tzricha de kam ramze remuze. Mao de tem remize milsehi, kamash malan remize lav klomi. What if you see there was some sort of unspoken communication between the two sets of witnesses, where the second set of witnesses seemed to be clearly given the sign from the first set of witnesses, you know, we're describing a kidnapping over here. But again, the first set of witnesses didn't actually describe it as a kidnapping. The first set of witnesses just simply said, look, we're reporting a sale. But you see that they knew about the other set of witnesses, and there were some, at least, tacit communication between these two sets of witnesses. The Gemara says, legally, halakhically, that's nothing. And if the second set of witnesses are coming before the other witnesses have reported the kidnapping, so on legal grounds, it's considered as if they're not testifying about the sale of somebody who was kidnapped, and therefore this is not going to result in a death penalty. Recap of today. We talked about the Isser in the Torah of kidnapping another Jew, having him work for you, or having her work for you. In other words, as we discussed in the beginning of the shiur today, doesn't matter if the criminal or the victim is either a male or female, the subject to the death penalty, and then you sell the kidnapped individual. So under those circumstances, one is going to be subject to the death penalty of chenek. How do I know? From what we discussed today is the kidnapping of one's own child or one's own student. That doesn't qualify because it's not ki yimatzeh, not qualified to the death penalty. What about stealing an aved? Does not qualify because it has to be achiv. It has to be someone who's your brother. Chatzi ben aved, chatzi ben charen, subject to a machlokas. The Gemara based that machlokas on drushas and miyutim. Where is the azhara for this isra in the Torah? So lo signov of the aser sadibros. How do I know that's talking about kidnapping? Answer is context. And then the side B of today's daf, a technical discussion, important but technical discussion about davar and chatzi davar. What if you're testifying about step two? Are you and another set of witnesses are testifying about step one? One set of witnesses are testifying about the kidnapping. The second set of witnesses are testifying about the sale. What are each? What's the interplay of this first set of witnesses and second set of witnesses? Do we view the first step as a crime in of itself? Do we view it as a continuum towards the step two? That the Gemara discussed and debated and deliberated, and obviously would have applications in terms of whether the first and or second set of witnesses are going to be subject to the Azama penalty. I've done.